The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Lord, beyond my mind, beyond my lips, be in my heart.
Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes towards his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. And woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, loving. Encore, encore, no. How are you?
Blessed.
Blessed? You know, I love to answer that question that way. And I've learned to do that over the years, working in our food pantry 20 years ago, amongst some of the very poorest in the city of San Francisco. And it always amazed me that they would answer that question that way, waiting in line at a food pantry. And so I learned to recognize that they have found that even amongst life's difficulties, there's a blessing. And maybe even sometimes because of those difficulties, they found that blessing. And so I learned myself to answer that question that way, because sometimes when people ask me that question, I don't feel all that hot. And I need to remind myself that I'm blessed no matter how I feel. That's what I think today's readings are trying to show us and tell us. You know, some things in life depend on how you look at them. For example, somebody showed me this picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Have you noticed? Or has someone told you, because I didn't notice, that if you stand over here to her right and look at her, she seems asleep. She seems to not be paying attention to you. She seems to be distant, uncaring. But if you come over here, right about here, her eyes open. And she's gazing upon you lovingly. You are the center of her attention, and she cares. A lot of things depend on how you look at them. I think that's what the message of the Beatitudes are today that Jesus is giving us. If you look at them from the point of view, really, of most of the people Jesus was talking to at the time, they made no sense. As a matter of fact, they were contrary to what they believed. Remember, we know from the scriptures that there are some who believed in the resurrection, but many who did not believe in the resurrection during Jesus' lifetime. And also, people back then, not only did they generally not believe in the resurrection, but they believed that our reward for doing what is right, for following God's law, is blessings in this life, like riches, like health, children, etc. And so imagine how shocking these Beatitudes are to Jesus' listeners. It's turning the world upside down on their head. And what makes it different? What is Jesus trying to reveal? Jesus is revealing, and by his death and resurrection, the game changer. Jesus reveals that for those who are his disciples, because of his death and resurrection, we are invited to share in eternal life and have a resurrection from the dead. And so everything about how we look at this life is flipped on its head if we think that there is and believe that there is eternal life that depends on how we act in this life. That's powerful. The Beatitudes are challenging us to look at our lives differently, from a different point of view than only this world. And so the scriptures try to help us further and give us other images of how to look at the world, how to look at being a disciple, how to look at being a disciple of Jesus or a disciple of the world. And it gives two beautiful images. The first reading and the psalm both talk about those who believe in their own strength are like a barren bush in the lava of the desert, never changes season, minimal life. Or those who believe in God are like a tree planted by running water, who have roots deep that go into the ground, that produce fruit, that give shade, and it's not afraid of life's difficulties like the heat or the drought, because with that depth of God's grace, it can endure. Which would you rather be? A barren brown bush in a lava waste, or a tree planted by the water with your roots deep? You know, those are good images. But you know me, or maybe you don't know me, I like to change scripture. I have a different image. Those who believe in God, the disciples, are like an iceberg. And you know, you've seen icebergs, even if not in real life, like I never have, but only in pictures. And for an iceberg, there's a teeny little bit above the water's surface, right? Looks like a pyramid floating on the water. But then there's a huge foundation below. And so if you look at our lives, like what we see in this life, the few years, 1 year, 100 years that we spend in this life, it's like the tip of the iceberg, or like the little pyramid above the surface of the water. But our entire life in eternity is so much bigger. That image can help us look at our life differently. And Jesus is offering us that. For example, if you view that there is no God, no resurrection, it's like saying that only what I see is what exists. It's like the only thing that exists is that little pyramid on top of the water. And all of us, I believe, are logical people, and we try to act in ways that have consequences that benefit us. But if your only view is this world, when opportunities come, like being honest on a test, or at work, or in your business life, and it can profit you to bend the rules or cheat. Unlikely that you're going to get caught. And if only thing that we see is this pyramid, why not do that? And so, on and on it goes, when we're challenged to be just in society, to work for the common good, to be loving and generous to others. Why would we really do that if the only thing that exists were the consequences of this world? And this really is an argument of modern skeptics, those who don't believe in God. For example, Nietzsche, Karl Marx, people who say that God is dead or religion is the opiate of the masses. If you only look at life from that pyramid, what we can see, religion makes no sense. It actually makes people weaker, prevents them from trying and striving to be great. That's what St. Paul is saying in that second reading. If we've hoped for Christ for only this life, we are the most pitiable of all people. But Jesus reveals that there is a resurrection, and for those who believe in him and follow him, they too will rise and live forever. That makes all the difference in the world. And so when we're faced with those everyday moral issues, like to be honest in our relationships, to be generous and loving, even if it's a sacrifice right now, even if we don't see the benefits, because we know that life is eternal and acting against God's commandments may forfeit eternal life, we have the courage and the strength to make the right and loving choice. A choice that may seem illogical because it only really works if everyone does it. We know not everyone's going to do it. Sometimes it seems like only the good guys finish last. But we still have the courage to make that right decision, looking at our entirety of life, what's above the water and what's below the water. But more so, that's not the real reason why we're blessed. We're blessed because if we have our roots deep in the ground, or that iceberg below the water is the foundation of our life, when the storms of life come to us, like the waves on the water, right? If it was only a pyramid on top of the water, the waves would make that pyramid capsize. But if it's an iceberg with a huge foundation, those waves are insignificant. And we can weather life's storms by our faith. This gospel is often read at funerals. Yesterday I did a funeral of a man who was 60 years old, which happens to be the same age I am. I believe it's still young. He graduated from high school the same year I did, and so those kind of things make you think a little bit. His wife, his spouse, was a person of deep faith, and she said, although we had the best relationship, so loving, I couldn't ask for anything more. I miss him so much. I'm just grateful that God gave us that time together. Her strong foundation helped her through that storm. This is the blessedness. This is the beatitude that we have as disciples of Jesus, to help us wither or endure the droughts or the heat of life. But there's more even still to that blessedness. Because that blessedness isn't meant simply to get us through the difficult times. It's meant to have us live the fullness of life. And that beatitude can be the guide to help us to reach our true vocation, our calling, our maximum potential. The best example I have of that is St. Ignatius of Loyola. Now, I'm a Franciscan, and I love Franciscans, and I always talk about Franciscan saints, but St. Ignatius of Loyola has a powerful story. You may be familiar with it. He was a soldier, and in battle, he got a leg injured, and so he had to stay in bed for 6 months. And as he stayed in bed, he was bored, so he started reading a lot of things. And he read all the romance novels, I don't know what they had, but all the worldly stories. And he was really moved by that. And so, still hungry, he reached out for more, but the only thing they had left in that house was Lives of the Saints and the Bible. And so he started reading that stuff too, and he made an observation. He said, you know, when I meditate on things of this world, fame, glory, riches, wealth, sensual pleasures. He says, I feel really good. And he goes, but when I meditate on the things of God and the lives of the saints, I feel really good too. So which is better? But he said, but when I stop meditating on the things of the world, I feel empty. I feel like I'm addicted or want more. He didn't use the word addicted. I'm longing for more. I'm unhappy. I'm restless. But when I meditate on the things of the Lord and the lives of the saints, and then I stop, I'm filled with joy that lasts, that endures. That's the blessing, the beatitude that is we're all called to find and give us the courage then to then do what St. Ignatius did. He said, if St. Francis can live a virtuous life, and these other saints can do that, so can I. And he formed what you may know as the Jesuits. The Jesuits are like the Marines of the Catholic Church. They're serious. He was a soldier, and he became a soldier for Christ because he recognized that that's what's going to give him true blessing in life. So too, Jesus' disciples. They were fishermen. They became fishers of men. So too, all of us, recognizing that life is more than just this pyramid, but it's the iceberg, should cause us to not only be just in our everyday dealings, should help us endure life's storms, but it should also guide us and be our rudder and our direction to live our lives totally for Christ, to be mothers and fathers, parents for Christ, to be doctors, lawyers, secretaries, teachers, trash collectors for Christ, and to be and recognize that we're blessed. So how are you?
Blessed.
Amen.